There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, following the truth wherever it leads, exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites, revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality, coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome to a premium episode of Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Thanks for sticking me in your ear. And on this episode, my guest will outline why he believes that UFOs and aliens are our future human descendants, coming back through time to visit and study their own hominin evolutionary past. Dr. Michael Masters is a professor of biological anthropology at Montana Tech in Butte, Montana. He received a PhD in anthropology from The Ohio State University in 2009. His current research program centers on hominin evolutionary anatomy, human variation, archaeology, and biomedicine. In 2019, he published Identified Flying Objects, a multidisciplinary scientific approach to the UFO phenomenon, which examines the premise that UFOs and aliens may be our human descendants returning from the future to visit and study their own, again, evolutionary past. His second book, The Extratempestrial Model, published in June of this year, 2022, analyzes well-documented cases of abduction and other contact modalities in the context of this time travel model and other theories put forth to elucidate this complex and mysterious phenomenon. Dr. Michael Masters, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How did you get involved in this field, coming from a background of biological anthropology?
Well, I mean, in a way, I may have actually chosen biological anthropology because of this field. It's sort of a weird yin-yang situation, I guess, where I've been interested in the question since I was a young child, about 8 years old. And learning that UFOs were real, at least in the context of someone I knew and trusted having seen one close up. So that kind of challenged my worldview a little bit. And then as a result of this encounter, it was my father, actually. He got Whitley Strieber's book, Communion. And that quintessential gray alien on the front cover, which inspired so many other people and triggered so many other people's memories of actual encounters. I've never had one of my own, but it was instrumental in shaping my pursuit, because I wondered if there could be a connection. I saw so much humanness in this individual, and it, obviously not reminiscent of our past, but what seemed to be something that would characterize our evolutionary future. So I'd started out in physics and astronomy to kind of look at UFOs in that sense, sort of the nuts and bolts approach, but then switched to biological anthropology because I thought it would be maybe a different approach or just something I was more interested in, I guess, to look at the evolutionary aspects of this in the context of the visitors themselves. So that kind of became the main focus really ever since.
So when you're researching this, you're taking what's called an abductive reasoning approach. Now, I understand deductive reasoning, mm-hmm. so like there's a general rule and then you come to a specific conclusion, and inductive reasoning, there's a specific observation, and then that leads to a general conclusion, which may be true. What's abductive reasoning?
Well, abductive reasoning's different because you start with, you basically start with a question and then weigh all of the evidence. And evidence, when it comes to UFOs, is a little bit different than how we would consider the standards of evidence in strict scientific terms. So we have to acknowledge that caveat, but you're basically looking at everything available, all available information, and trying to essentially make inference to the best explanation to figure out what explains all of these different observations and these different bits of data the best. It's kind of the most parsimonious explanation, sort of the Occam's razor approach, where you're not making any sort of strong conclusion. You're not able to say there's causality involved like you could with other approaches that have solid statistical methods, and you're controlling for variables in a sort of experimental setting, but you're able to look at everything and just try to say this makes the most sense considering all of the different data that's available to us. And as we get more data, as our knowledge of physics and astronomy and astrobiology and anthropology and psychology, all these other fields evolve, especially with regard to quantum mechanics, I think is going to be instrumental. Then you can modify that interpretation. You get new data, you reassess that in the context of what the best model is at any given time. But so I essentially just try to make an inference to the best explanation. What makes the most sense in the context of what we do have available to us now?
So what little I know about abductive reasoning is the research starts with kind of like a surprising fact or a puzzle. So in this case, what are the surprising facts or puzzles?
Well, I think the most important surprising fact or puzzles is that UFOs are real. That's sort of the starting point, where from that point, that is the observation. And then from that, if for a long time, that wasn't even a good starting point, because there was a lot of debate about whether or not this was even a real phenomenon. And I remember in my first book in 2019, it really hadn't been established yet. So I would start off saying, if UFOs are real, let's consider whether or not they could possibly be us from the future. So that was still the observation then. But with this, that now the observation isn't just that UFOs are real. I think that's been generally established, except for some dogmatic debunkers and others who aren't paying attention to what's going on. But we can take that. We can also take, I think, another important side of the same coin, which is the abduction, the contactee accounts, which should absolutely be considered. It's a more tenuous aspect of the phenomenon. There's no doubt about that. But when we're talking about observation or sets of observations, and then we're trying to seek the simplest and most likely explanation, we need to consider everything. And there's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be taking into account the real experiences of honest, reliable people, these eyewitnesses. We can't just stop with whatever pilot saw, whatever thing, or captured you know, their FLIR, GoFast, GIMBAL, all these videos are important. We need to take those into account as well, but we should also be discussing the people who have the closest encounter, those who are taken aboard the ship, those who have face-to-face interaction with these visitors. And that was really the focus of my most recent book, because I think we're leaving a lot of important information out if we don't also consider those.
What does extratempestrial mean?
Well, I was trying to come up with a term, and there's been others put forth too. I've seen chrononauts, UFO knots. Dr. Michael Swords used that in a 1985 paper written for MUFON, where he discussed the same idea at length. He did a very good analysis of it. But I wanted to coin a term that I felt could sort of bridge this gap. Everyone knows the term extraterrestrial. In fact, it's become such a buzzword that we just fill it in any gap. We if you watch Ancient Aliens, it's always extraterrestrials, extraterrestrials. And I think that sort of pigeonholes the conversation, and we need to move past that and broaden our lexicon to just something more general. And you know, you got to give credit to Whitley Strieber for doing that really early on. And his book Community just referred to them as the visitors. And I've sort of adopted that in my most recent book too. I'm trying to make a case for them being extra tempestrial, being time travelers, but we still don't know for certain. So I try to use that general term, but the word itself just takes the common jargon of extraterrestrial, which means outside of Earth, and replaces that key root term in the middle, the Latin root ter, meaning Earth, with the Latin root temp, time. So switching out that changes not just the word, but the origins of these visitors, going from them being outside of Earth to being outside of time, because they very well could and most likely do live on the same Earth, but just in a future time that may be an approximate or it may be our more distant future.
Listen to the entire bonus episode on Strange Planet Premium. Subscribe at strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm or click the link in the episode show notes. We're offering listeners 50% off yearly subscriptions between now and Christmas Day. Use the code HOLIDAY at checkout. I hope to see you on the premium feed.